All right, well, the NBA draft has come and gone, and Dr. Brand, I'm not going to quiz you on who got selected where and how your favorite teams were impacted, but I do want to talk about a trend that we saw before the draft. Obviously, a lot of underclassmen declared for the draft and then had the chance to go through tryouts in front of NBA teams and scouts, etc. And if they didn't like what they were hearing, had the chance to retain their eligibility and return to college to continue their education, their student-athlete experience. Can you elaborate on this process?
Yeah, it's a rule that was passed several years ago. It's not new, but it isn't that old either. And it gives an opportunity for student-athletes to make a good assessment of where they stand in the draft before they make a decision to go forward or not. They only have one shot at this. You can't do this every year, so if you're a freshman, you can do it once, or if you're junior, you can do it once. So you can't do it more than once. But it does give the student athletes an opportunity to really understand in detail. Many of them go through the tryouts, for example, the camps from the pros, and it gives them a really good chance, besides the conversations they have with prospective NBA folks about where they will stand, because they'll actually get a good feel for where they are. I want to make sure I correct that. It's not agents. They're not permitted during this process to be able to talk with and work with agents. So I misspoke a moment ago.
Well, it seems like this is a fair process that our membership has put into place for student-athletes.
That's correct. We're trying to be fair to the student-athletes. But in trying to be fair to the student-athletes, the question arises, are we being fair to the game of basketball, college basketball? Because the male coaches bring up this issue, and it's a fair issue for them to raise. There's a long period of time from the end of the Final Four until the NBA draft, which takes place after the NBA Finals. And during that period of time, there may be on a very productive team several members of that team that declare they want to go to the NBA, and majority of them will go back without going to the NBA to test the waters. Their expectations may have been higher than reality, and so they go back. But what happens to the team and the coach? He may find that, you know, he has two, three players who are in limbo. Does he recruit for them? Does he hold a place open for them? The team is, and the coach is, in limbo for a long period of time. And that's a legitimate concern. I think our membership is going to have to address that in an honest and forthright way.
Well, my question, I guess, is how do you counteract that? Because if the NBA doesn't move up the draft and doesn't move up all the tryout camps, then if the membership decides that, they could compromise that opportunity that they decided to give the student-athletes because of the coaches. So it's almost six here, half dozen of the other.
Well, I think unilaterally, the NCAA membership, and that's not the national office, the NCAA membership could say we only want to give them 2 weeks or even 3 or 4 weeks past the Final Four, and after that, you have to make a decision. So we can force the decisions by process of rules whether the young men want to continue in this limbo category of trying it out or not. You know, and some youngsters who try out feel that, you know, they're not really NBA material, and they may not go back to school anyway. They may want to go to Europe to play, which is another opportunity for them. But in making that decision, the question again that the coaches are raising is, have you overdone the flexibility? We want some flexibility for the student athletes and disadvantage the team.
Well, it seems to me that to at least get a sense of where you are will reduce, and seems to have reduced, the opportunity that some kids will go into the draft, not get selected, lose their eligibility, and actually would be better off back in school. We seem to have seen a reduction in that.
Yeah, we have, and I think this rule, leaving aside the length of time for making that decision, I think this rule is fairer to the student athletes, so they get to really figure out where they're going to stand. There are only 450 slots in the NBA. That's not very many, and they don't all open up, obviously, every year. And as you know, there are more and more international players, so the opportunities aren't as great as one would think. Lots of people have the expectation and believe they're going to make in the NBA, and they want to try out and see if that's the case. They'll go back to the university. As long as they keep their academics in shape, they can go back to the university.
And just finally, to talk about another sport as just a comparative example, the NFL, there are underclassmen who declare for the professional football draft. It's obviously a different draft, and there are more slots in the draft, and you may not see the same process as the NBA, but there isn't an extended tryout period for football student athletes, where they can then decide. It's a totally different situation.
It's totally different. They have to make a decision in a shorter period of time. And you're right, there are more opportunities in football in terms of sheer numbers than there are in basketball. But that sport's treated it differently. There may be changes that are necessary in the NBA. I just think we have to have an honest, forthright conversation about it with the membership.
And again, just to reiterate, that's membership decisions in both of those sports. Dr. Brandt, thanks for the clarifications.
Pleasure.